For the sixth parak, we need four principles before we start going through the Mishnayos. Number one is there's a concept of shlucho shel adam kamoso, that if A appoints B as his agent, it's a shaliach, and the shaliach does an act on behalf of A, it's as if A did that act. For the example, if A says to B, as my agent, please go mekadesh a woman for me, go and betroth the woman for me, B can do that, B is authorized to do that, and B, A will be the one. It's as if A did that act, and A will be engaged to that woman. Shlucho shel adam kamoso, that's number one. Number two is that concept of it's as if A did the act when B, his agent, did it for him. It doesn't apply when B does an aveira. So if A tells to B, do an aveira on my behalf even, B is going to be held responsible, not A. And that's the concept of ein shaliach ledvar aveira. You cannot have an agent act on your behalf when that agent is doing an aveira. Clause number three, principle number three is as follows. This is an exception that indeed there is a shaliach ledvar aveira when we're talking about mi'ila. So if A instructs B to do an act, it's b'shogeg, as we've been talking about throughout the Masechta, and it's not intentional to do something that violates the prohibition of mi'ila. Go take that money, spend it at the store, and unbeknownst to both of them, that money was hekdesh. We are going to say, in that case, shlucho shel adam kamoso. When B does that, even though it's an aveira, we're going to say it's as if A did that aveira, and A is going to be violating the prohibition of me'ila. However, principle number four is this all is going to apply only when B followed the instructions. So A told B, go spend that money in the store, and it was hekdesh money. We're going to say that shlucho shel adam kamoso, A is going to be responsible. However, if B did not follow instructions, then we're going to say B is responsible. We will hash all of that out throughout our Mishnayos. Mishnah Aleph says as follows, HaShaliach, that's A, she'asa shlichuso, he appoints B as his agent, his shaliach, Baal HaBayis Ma'al, the Baal HaBayis, that's going to be A, is going to be responsible. Once again, so A appointed B, and B did his shlichus. He followed the instructions correctly. Accordingly, in that instance, we're going to say Baal HaBayis Ma'al, the A is going to be responsible. Lo asa shlichus. So however, if B did not do his shlichus, he did not follow instructions, we are not going to say it's as if A did it, but HaShaliach Ma'al, it's going to be B who's going to have violated the prohibition of Me'ila. Now we're going to give four examples of this. Number one, Ketzad, Amar Lo, 10 Basar Lo'orchim, A says to B, give meat, and unbeknownst to him, that meat is hekdesh, and he instructs him, give it to the Orchim, give it to the guest. B'nasanahem Kaved, and instead of giving the meat, he gave liver, and that liver was hekdesh as well, so he's not following the instructions. Or the reverse, Kaved B'nasanahem Basar, A says to B, give them liver, and it turned out that he gave meat. In that situation, that's going to be our principle number four. The shaliach did not follow the instructions. The shaliach is violating mi'ila. Accordingly, hashaliach ma'al. Halacha number two in this Mishnah. Amar lo, A says to B, ten lahem chaticha chatichita. Give each of our guests one piece of meat. Each gets one. V'hu amar tlu shtaim shtaim. And he, B, says to each of them, you can take two. One is from A, the Baal HaBayis, and another one is for me. So he says each of them to take two. V'hem natlu shalosh shalosh. And each of them, instead of taking one or two, took three. Kula malu, each of them is going to have a mi'ila. Why? Because A instructed B to give them one, so A is held responsible for that, and B had added on and gave them each an additional one, so he's responsible for that additional one, and each of the guests took a third one, they're going to be responsible, violating Me'ila for the third one. Halacha number three, Amar lo, A says to B, Haveli min hachalon, bring me some money, or take some money that is hekdesh, unbeknownst to him, from that cubby, or mina gluskama, or from that box. And he's instructing B to go use that money for some profane purpose, not for a hekdesh purpose, vehevilo, and he followed suit. B followed the instructions. Afal pisha amar Baal HaBayis, even though thereafterward A would say, possibly, lo yabalibi ela mizeh vehevi mizeh, you didn't follow the instructions. You followed the instructions I told you, but I didn't really intend that. I wanted you to bring that money from a different cubby or for a different box. Baal HaBayis ma'al, A is going to be responsible. We say dvarim shabalev and dvarim. We don't care what you had in your heart that you internally you intended something else. Here the shaliach followed the explicit instructions that he was given, and accordingly it's going to be the Baal HaBayis A that is going to violate me'ila. And halacha number four, aval imar marlo. However, if A says to B, haveli min achalon, bring me money, bring me a hektish item from the window, vevila mila gluskama, and he brings it from a different place. He brings the money from the box. Oh, mina gluskama, A says to B, bring me from from the Gluskuma, from the box, Revi Lumina Kalani brings it from the Kabi, HaShaliach Mal, here we're in our principle number four, that because the Shaliach, the bee, did not follow instructions, it's going to be the Shaliach bee that violated Me'ila. Mishnah Beis, we're going to add another party. We're going to have A, who is the Mishaleach, that's the person sending. We have the bee, the agent, the Shaliach, and also we have C, who is a Chenvani, who is a storekeeper, as follows. Shalach Biat Cheireshote Vekatan. Here we have A, and he's appointing an agent, somebody who cannot be appointed agent because the person does not have the mental capacity to act as an agent. So that would be a cheirish, for example, somebody who's a deaf mute, or a shota, somebody who's mentally impaired, or a katan, somebody who is below age of bar mitzvah. Im asu shlichus, so if nonetheless that B did the shlichus as instructed, balabais mal, that balabais will have incurred the violation of mi'ila. However, lo ashla shlichus, so if that B, who doesn't have mental capacity, did not do the shlichus, did not follow the instructions. Accordingly, A cannot be held responsible because his instructions were not followed. B is not responsible because we're talking about somebody who's a cheir shot of a takat and that doesn't have the mental capacity, so they can't help be responsible. Accordingly, v'achen vani mal, if that money is given to a chen vani, it is being purchased, something is purchased by that B, and now that chen vani, that's a storekeeper, has that money. As soon as that storekeeper uses that money for his personal use, as me'ila is, it's a shogeg, although it's a shogeg, that is the definition of me'ila, so that chen vani violates me'ila. Next scenario, shalach biad pikeach, we have A sending B, the shaliach, and B is a mentally capable individual, he's above the age of bar mitzvah, etc., so somebody who is an appropriate shaliach, v'nizkar ad shalo higia etz al chanvani, and A, he sends B, go to the store, and he sends him with money, unbeknownst to him, that is hekdesh, and he remembered, before B gets to C to purchase the item, he remembers that the money he gave him was hekdesh, hachenvani ma'al kishiyotzi, that chenvani still is going to be ma'al when he uses that. A is not going to be, why not? Because he wasn't a shogeg throughout. He remembered before the money was received by C. Accordingly, he cannot violate mi'ila because he is amazed. He knows that that money is hekdesh before it is received by C. And as well, the Gemara explains that B is not going to be held responsible because he also remembered this money is hekdesh, so neither of them are shogeg. It's going to be C who is the shogeg individual who would violate me'ila when he uses that money for his personal benefit. Ketzad yaseh, what should be done now that we have C? Let's assume that he received the money, he put it into his cash register, he violates me'ila, and now he has a problem. He has a lot of money, a lot of coins in his cash register, all of them are cooling, and now he put this one in hekdesh into his cash register. What's his solution to be able to use all that money in his cash register? Ketzad yaseh, nota, pruta, what he should take is one pruta, take an individual, a separate pruta that is chulin, that's not hektish, or keli, or take something of value also, it could be an item. The Yomar, I should say as follows, pruta shel hektish, kol b'chol makam shi, that pruta of hektish that's in my cash register, whichever one of it is, because it's all mixed together, I don't know which one it is, mechulel es azeh, I'm redeeming it on this coin that I am holding in my hand, that I have here, she hektish nita b'kesev of shabbat kesev, because you can redeem the hektish, whichever coin is the hektish in the cash register, it can be redeemed onto other money or to another item that has value. Mishnah Gimel, Nasan La Pruta, A gives to be a pruta that is hektish, unbeknownst to him. Amarlo, and A says to his agent B, Haveli Bechetzia Neiros of Bechetzia Ptilos. What I want you to do is divide this pruta in half. With half of a pruta, I'd like you to buy me candles, and the other half, I want you to buy me wicks. And an important point is, as we've seen in this Masechter, there's only a violation of the prohibition of Me'ila if somebody benefits in a whole pruta, not in a partial pruta. So we have a whole pruta. A is saying to be divided in two. Half of it, half a pruta for candles, half a pruta for wicks. Halach v'hevi lo bekula neiros or bekula pesilos. And the messenger here, B, he did not follow suit fully. He did partially. What he did was he took the pruta, and with the entire pruta, he brought either candles or wicks. So in other words, he's following the instructions in part because he was supposed to buy half a pruta worth, but he brought a full pruta worth. O she'amar lo, or alternatively, he says to be, haveli b'chula neiros, I want you to take this pruta and buy with the entire thing candles, or b'chula p'silos, or with the entire thing, buy wicks, halach ve'li lo b'chetio neiros b'chetio p'silos. And instead of following the instructions fully, he followed them in part because he took the pruta, and with half of the pruta, he bought candles, and the other half, he bought wicks. So again, he's following the instructions in part, but he's not following the instructions in part. Shneim no malu, there's going to be mila for neither of them as a technicality. Why? Because there wasn't a full me'ila with a pruta. Each of them had a me'ila responsibility of half a pruta for A, half a pruta for B. Neither one of them had a me'ila for a full pruta. Accordingly, this doesn't violate the classic me'ila. Aval im amarlo, however, if A instructs B, haveli b'chetia neiros mimakam ploni, v'chetia psilos mimakam ploni. I want you to take and divide it in two, and I want you to spend half of the pruta to buy me wicks in one place, and I want you to buy me with the other half of pruta candles in a different place. And he swapped the places. B'halach ve'evi lein neiros mibeis ha'psilos, and he bought the candles where he was supposed to buy the wicks. Upsilos mibeis neiros, and he bought the wicks where he was supposed to buy the candles. So he followed the instructions not at all. Accordingly, ha'shaliach ma'al, the shaliach is violating me'ila because he used the full pruta in a non-approved or instructed way. Mishnah Dalit, Nasan lo shtei prutas. Here we have A giving not one pruta, but two prutas to B, his shaliach. Amar lo, and A instructs B as follows, Hevili esrog. I want you to spend the entire two prutas on a really nice esrog for me. V'halach lehevilo bepruta esrog ubepruta riman. And instead of following his instructions, he took one pruta and he brought an esrog. He was supposed to buy that. Ubepruta riman, but with the second one, he brought a pomegranate. The Mishnah says, shnei hemalu, both of them have me'ila. So what's going on here? A instructed him to buy an esrog, and B bought an esrog, although for less money. So that's why A has me'ila, and B has me'ila because he used part of the money, one pruta for a rimon, for a pomegranate. So he has me'ila. Now, in fact, the Gemara tells us what's really going on here is that A instructed B to spend both prutas on an esrog, and what he did was he spent only one pruta on an esrog, but the value of the esrog that he received was of two prutas. So accordingly, because he got an esrog a value of two prutas, indeed A's instructions were followed, and that's why A has violated me'ila, but B took the second pruta and bought a rimon, and that is why B is responsible also for me'ila. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. He says, in fact, the instructions were not followed at all, and it won't be A that has me'ila, it's only B. Why is that? Bala bais lomal, Rabbi Yehuda mer bala bais lomal, the bala bais A has no me'ila shu'omerla, because he can say to B his shaliach, his agent, esrog gadol ha'isi mevakesh. The bottom line is, I gave you two prutas because I wanted the best esrog that I could buy for my money. Ve'vesali katan vara, and you bought me a bad one. In other words, what he's saying is that I understand that you used one of the prutas and you bought me an esrog with worth two, but had you followed my instructions, you would have spent the full two and you could have bought me an esrog that was worth four. And accordingly, A is telling to B, you did not follow my instructions at all. That's the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, so it's only B that has violated me. Now the seifa is going to be fairly similar to the ratio. Nasan lo dinar zahav. A gives to B a dinar zahav, a lot of money. Amar lo haveli chaluk. Go buy me an expensive, nice chaluk, a nice cloak. V'halach ve'evi lo b'shlosha chaluk b'shlosha talis. And instead of buying with the full amount of the money a beautiful chaluk, he divided up the money, and with half of it, that's three slayim, he bought a chaluk, he bought a cloak, and the other three, the other half of the money, he bought a talis. The Mishnah says Shnei Malu, that's a shita again of the Tanakam of Chachamim, that both of them violate Me'ila. Why? A, because B followed suit and he bought him a chaluk. And the Gemara tells us that the value of what he bought indeed was worth the full amount of the money, the dinar zahav. So that is the shita of the Chachamim, that A has violated Me'ila because he got what he wanted, and B has violated Me'ila because he used part of the money for what he wasn't instructed to buy, which is talis. Rabbi Yehuda mer balabais lo ma'al. Again, Rabbi Yehuda says, the balabais is not ma'al because he's going to say, you didn't follow my instructions at all. Shu omerla, because A can say to B, it's very nice that you were able to spend half the money and get the value of a full dinar zav of a chaluk, but had you followed my instructions, you would have used all the money. Chaluk gadol ha'isi mevakesh. I was asking you to buy me a really nice chaluk, the best that you could buy with the money I gave you. Ve'vesali katavra, and you bought me something less of value. Had you spent the full money, you could have bought something so much nicer. You didn't follow my instructions at all. Mishnah, hey. Hamafkid ma'os etzel shulchani. We're talking now, and we're going to divide these halachas in three, about somebody who gives money to be entrusted, to be held, or possibly used by somebody else, to be safeguarded by an individual. And we're going to divide up, and we're going to discuss if A gave the money to a shulchani, which is a money changer. And then halacha number two in this mission is going to be if he gave it to an individual, call him a balabais, somebody who's not in business. And number three is not that he gave it to a shulchani, a money changer, but a chenvani, somebody who has a store. So that's somebody who needs change to give change to people, but he's not constantly changing money with others. So Mishnah Hey says as follows, Hamafkin maos etzel chaver, he gave Eitzel Shulchani, that he gave a Shulchani, a money changer, money. The default is the money changer is going to have permission to use that money unless, im tsrurim, if they are tied up, they have an unusual tie on it, or if they are sealed and signed, there's a sign on it. That is the instruction that B, the money changer, is not permitted to use the money. Accordingly, lo yishtamesh b'em, he's not allowed to use it. Lefichachim hotzimal, if he did use it, despite the fact that there were special signs on the package that he wasn't supposed to use it, it was signed and sealed and had an unusual knot on it, and nonetheless he opened up the package and he used it, and it turned out that it was hektesh money, ma'al, it is going to be the shulchani B who has violated mi'ilah. However, if when A gave it to the shulchani to be mutarim, he gave him loose change, or even tied up in an abnormal way, so there was no explicit evident instruction there that you're not allowed to use it, yishtamesh b'em, he is permitted to use it, that's the default. Lefichachim hotzi lomal, accordingly, if he uses it, there's not going to be a mi'ila on B. It's actually a machlokas in the postgame if A is going to have mi'ila in that situation or not, but at a minimum, B is not going to have a mi'ila because he was permitted to be using them. Halacha number two, if A gave Eitzel Balabais, if he gave the money to Balabais, whether they are signed and sealed and tied up tightly, or if it's loose, the default is a Balabais, he's given the money to hold on to it, not to use, lo yishtamesh b'em, he's not allowed to use them, lefichachim hotzimal, if he did use them, he did not have the authority to use them, he has violated mi'ila. Hachenvani, this is the third halacha, this is the storekeeper, kebala bais, even Rabbi Meir, he treats him like a bala bais, accordingly, he cannot use the money, and if he does, he will violate mi'ila. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, kashulchani, Rabbi Yehuda says, no, the halacha of a chenvani is just like we discuss a shulchani, default is you can use the money, but if it's all signed and sealed, etc., then you cannot, and if he did, then it would be a mi'ila. Mishnah Vav, pruta shel hekdesh shenafla l'socha kis, if somebody has a kis, he has a purse, he has a wallet, and it's chulin money, and by mistake, a pruta of hektish money falls into it, and now he has a mixture, he doesn't know what is what. Or the same halacha would be Oshamar, or if the owner of that money says as follows, I have all this change, pruta bikisa hektish, one of the prutas inside there is going to be hektesh. So now the question is, he doesn't know which it is. Is there going to be a violation as soon as he uses one of them? Because there's a suffix. Maybe the first one that he uses is that hektesh coin, and accordingly, that could be a potential me'ila. So this is the sheet of Rabbi Akiva. Kevin Shosia Sarishon Amal, as he used the first one, that is a me'ila diva Rabbi Akiva. What's going on here is that Rabbi Akiva has a sheet that when you have a suffix me'ila, you have a suffix, did the person violate me'ila or not? Because he used a coin that could be hektesh. The view is Rabbi Akiva is that he has to bring an asham talui because of that suffix. That is the sheet of Rabbi Akiva. So accordingly, as soon as you use that first coin, that is a suffix, a me'ila, and you have to bring an asham talui. V'chachamim omri machiyotzi es kol akis. The chachamim are of the view that you don't bring a korban asham talui on a suffix me'ila. Only when you violate me'ila for certain do you have to bring an asham me'ila. It's not asham talui, but an asham me'ila. So accordingly, until you get to the last one, there's a suffix on each, so there's no korban. But when you use the last pruta that you had in that purse, in that wallet, then you're going to have to bring an asham mi'ila. Says the Mishnah as follows, Moda Rabbi Akiva Bomer, there's a situation that Rabbi Akiva agrees with the Chachamim that you're only going to be chayv to bring that asham, and it's the asham mi'ila, the last pruta, but not on any of the prutas before that. If the individual says as follows, pruta minakise hektesh, the Bartunu explains this language as follows, that the person is proclaiming that the pruta that is going to be in this wallet, that's going to be in my pocket, that's going to be in the purse, it's only the last one that is going to be hektesh. So everything up to there is not hekdesh. Shumotzi v'holach, that he's permitted to use all the prutos ad shiotzi as kolakis until the last one, and only on the last one. Rabbi Akiva agrees with the chachamim that at that point, if he uses the last one, that is a violation of me'ila, and at that point, he'd have to bring an asham me'ilos.